Here is a shop town, the most cosmopolitan part of Toronto. On cross streets and side streets, the rows of blinking little modern shops, the phonograph blaring at the corner. Down four doors from the theater and new synagogue. Everywhere the shuffling, gabbling crowds and the flaring little shops fronted with people. Welcome to Art History Toronto, a show about the works displayed in or created in Canada's largest city. My name's Liv, and I'm the host of Art History Toronto. And with me today is Neil. Say hi, Neil.
Hi, everyone.
Great intro.
I wasn't given the script.
I don't have a script for you. It just says Neil says hi. Neil is our resident history weenie, shall we say? I don't know. Would you say you're an appreciator of art?
Yeah, I like art.
Yeah, you like art. Not an expert. Not that I'm the expert, but... So today we will be looking at In the Ward, Toronto, by Lauren Harris, painted in 1917. It is currently on display at the AGO, Art Gallery of Ontario. It's a fun one. Have you seen this painting before, Neil?
I might have, but I don't recognize it by name.
Perfect. And the quote that you heard at the beginning of this episode is from the Canadian magazine in 1909, describing the ward, but more on that later. Okay, let's start with who Lauren Harris is. Neil, off the top of your head, what do you know about Lauren Harris?
I don't actually know that much about him.
I just wanted to see if you could name the one thing that I thought you would name, but you didn't. That's fine.
Group of Seven member?
Yes, Lauren Harris was thought of kind of the ringleader of sorts of the Group of Seven. It's what most people know him for. He's best known for his landscape work. Everybody has probably seen one of his Arctic paintings, quite famous. He did a lot of Algonquin. He's best known for his landscapes. But when I look at his landscapes, they strike me as somewhat empty. I feel like they ignore the communities that are connected to the land that he painted. The painting we'll be examining today, In the Ward, Toronto, is not a landscape painting. It is an urbanscape, cityscape, if you will. Very interesting. He is from a white upper-class family, born near Toronto, and his family was wealthy enough that he could pursue a career in painting.
Is that all he ever did? He never worked another job? He was just a painter?
Yeah, exactly. Great question.
Okay.
Yep. Just a painter, and studied art in Germany, and then he came back to Toronto, where he continued to paint. He got married, had three kids, moved into an upper-class neighborhood. He was doing pretty well.
Sounds like it.
So when he came to Toronto, he started painting a lot of Toronto houses, Toronto streets. And then later he discovered landscape painting and then became quite obsessed with that. His early work was met with some mixed reviews. A 1910 quote from the Canadian magazine again says, "Mr. Harris's drawings are decidedly attractive and in some instances particularly good." Not necessarily a negative comment, but not super positive as well. A little bit later on, 1919, Lauren Harris is a young and virile Canadian painter who delights in decorative treatment, big dashes of light and shade, much pigment, great breadth of color, and all the glory of out of doors. He is one of the radicals in the Ontario Society of Artists. And if you've ever seen a Lauren Harris painting, I think that's a pretty accurate description of his works, of his style. So during this period of his life, Harris was obsessed with discovering his purpose in painting. He was one of many painters trying to establish a Canadian artistic identity. And yeah, and part of that was painting landscapes. If you've seen the work of the Group of Seven, it's Canadian landscapes. And I think a lot of us actually maybe subconsciously equate those kind of paintings with Canadian identity now, just because it's become so ingrained in like the official narrative. But, you know, he didn't move from urban painting directly to landscape painting. It wasn't so concrete. It wasn't so black and white. There was some crossover between these periods of his life. So it's very clear that this was a subject that was of interest to Harris, and, you know, moved him to paint when even landscapes didn't. Later in his life, he would discover the Arctic. He became well known and obsessed with that. And then he moved on to abstract painting, which is something that a lot of people don't know about Harris. As time moved on, he became kind of more geometric and symbolic. Okay, so the Ward. The subject of this painting we're looking at today in the Ward, Toronto, is an old Toronto neighborhood called the Ward. It's now completely gone. It was located, if you know the geography of Toronto, it was located between College and Queen from the north to the south, and University and Yonge from west to east. So that's a pretty central part of Toronto. Think of the Eaton Centre, think of Nathan Phillips Square, think of Old City Hall, New City Hall. That's about where everything is. But if we go back even further, it was once Tattle Creek, an indigenous meeting place. Toronto sits on land that was the site of human activity for at least 15,000 years before any of this that we're talking about today, the early 20th century. It's the traditional land of the Huron-Wendat, the Seneca, and most recently the Mississaugas of the Credit River. And then starting in the mid-19th century, it had many groups of people, African-Canadians, refugees from the Irish potato famine, African-Americans escaping via the Underground Railroad, Jewish people from Russia and Eastern Europe, Italian immigrants, Chinese immigrants, all kinds of newcomers to Canada residing in this one area of Toronto. And among them, actually, some really important residents. We have Francis G. Simpson Sr., shoemaker and conductor of the Underground Railroad, Edward Lye, organ maker, founder of an organ company, and Thornton and Lucy Blackburn, who escaped slavery from the U.S., owned Toronto's first taxi company, and became wealthy landowners, among other philanthropic endeavors. So lots of important people once lived in the ward.
Wow.
People would stay here for about 5 years and then move on to other neighborhoods. Part of that was because the health conditions were somewhat poor, and the infrastructure was falling apart. So it was a place of cultural significance, liveliness, and the quote that you heard at the beginning of this episode is from an article about the ward, describing what it was like in 1909. And at the end of that, the author even mentions that the ward is starting to go on its way out. A lot of people, what Augustus Bridle, the author of that quote, describes as the old country critics. Thornton and Lucy Blackburn, who escaped slavery from the United States and owned Toronto's first taxi company,
upon this becoming wealthy neighborhood.
So lots of really important people once lived.
Described it as being worse, this quote-unquote, worse than the ghettos of Europe.
So you can see that it was not looked upon favorably. And by 1911, there was a health investigation, and this was used as a reason to start to force people out. And in its place was built the Eden Department Store, City Hall, hospitals, Nathan Phillips Square, etc. So now all the remains of the ward are photographs, the few photographs that survive, and paintings, such as the one we're looking at today. And it's not entirely certain why he was so obsessed with painting the ward. He could have been making a point about preserving culture. He could have been making a criticism about how the city was neglecting health standards in the ward. He could be idealizing a culturally rich neighborhood, an impoverished neighborhood. But it's important to recognize that he was looking at the ward as an outsider, with outsider eyes. And you can kind of feel this when you look at the painting. I mean, it's a little detached from the environment. And if this wasn't intentional, perhaps it was product of his subconscious. But it's easy to see why Harris might have been fascinated with this type of life, because it was so different from his own. Coming from a wealthy Toronto neighborhood, this would have been almost like a culture shock to his system to look upon the ward. So I've just sent you the photo. What strikes you about this painting upon first glance?
Well, there's no one in the painting. The painting is just of the house itself. And it really seems to emphasize the rundown aspect of the neighborhood. Like there's, you can see like the plaster is peeling off the walls and the fences. Some of the pickets are missing from the fence, and everything seems to be a kind of like lopsided. Like some of the windows are kind of a little bit off, and yeah, that's just my first impression of it.
Yeah, that's what stands out to me too. It's a colorful depiction of a house, and yeah, the paint's peeling off the front of the wall, the outside of the walls. The fence is falling apart. There seems to be debris on the ground. It's not a paved road. It looks like it could be dirt. The houses are really unusually colorful. We've got reds and greens and blues and whites. Beige, and Harris was actually known for taking quite detailed notes on the colors he would see in a scene. He would, take a sketch down in his notebook, pencil in what colors everything were, and then he'd go home and presumably go home and paint it all. Over time, he started to become a little bit more inventive with his colors, especially in the Arctic, but it's quite possible that the colors we see in this painting are the colors or close to the colors that he saw. But if anything, all the colors on the houses, like on the walls, and the doors emphasize the rundown nature because you can really see where the white paint meets the yellow underneath.
It still looks kind of pleasant though. Like it's not a really overbearing, dark image or anything. It's still kind of light and colorful, and it's not hard on the eyes, really.
That's an excellent point. And if you compare this with his paintings of Black Court, Halifax, those paintings, he uses dark purples and blacks and sickly greens, and you feel like if you stepped into that scene, you might be ill. This looks very vibrant. In the ward feels like it's lively. If you were there, it's a little bit run down, but it's still playful and bright.
It definitely looks more still like a welcoming image. It still looks like it's someone's home instead of trying to depict something as, like a terrible, I don't know, something that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, you feel like the ramshackleness means that it was built by a community and it's lived in by a community and it's loved and worn like an old sweater. And it's very much painted in his usual style with broad strokes and thick oil paint. And over time, this kind of changes. And if you look at his Arctic paintings, things feel a little bit more smooth and geometric and clean. Here it's a little bit messier, not muddy, but a little bit messier.
Yeah. Did he ever make any statements on what he thought about the war? Like, was he okay with it being torn down?
I don't know if he said anything about it being torn down, but I need to find the quote here. It's uncertain Harris's exact thoughts on the ward. I mean, in a weird sort of near deprecating statement, he called the ward the sordid fringe of his native Toronto. He's known to have been a great supporter of improving working conditions and living conditions for lower class people. During the Great Depression, he would provide work for people who didn't have any jobs. He would get his daughters to bring people off the streets to sit for paintings or drawings. It's complicated. No one, it's hard to say exactly what he thought, but
Sounds like he had a complicated relationship with the city he lived in.
yeah, and when you look at this painting, you can kind of feel his love for his city and the neighborhood. But yeah, as we said before, this space is devoid of people. It's just the building. This house is the main character of, it's the main subject, the main character of this painting, really shining the light on the neighborhood itself and the infrastructure of the neighborhood. And whatever his thoughts on the ward and whether he was idealizing an impoverished area or striving for better living conditions for these people, this remains one of the few memories and pieces of documentation we have of this now defunct neighborhood. If you'd like to see this work in person, you can go to the AGO. It's on the second floor. It's with the rest of the Lauren Harris Group of Seven works. Maybe next time you're by the Eden Center or by Nathan Phillips Square, you can take a second to think about the neighborhood that used to live there, think about all the kinds of newcomers that came and found a home in a big new city. If you'd like to find the sources I used today, they will be up on the website. You can find the link in the episode notes. If I missed anything huge or you have an idea for a painting you'd like me to cover or a piece of art, sculpture, building, whatever, give us a shout. You can email us at info@purpleglowmag.com or find us on Instagram at purpleglowmag, Twitter @purpleglowmag. We'll get back to you. Thanks so much, Neil, for joining us today on this journey.
Thank you for having me.
If you like this, text one friend who you know would love to listen and send them the link. Make sure to subscribe, and we'll see you next time.